The following essay was originally aired in 2002. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, May 8, 8 a.m. Central Oregon coast, the base of Yaquinahead Lighthouse. 100 feet below these cliffs, the ocean unfolds forever, monopolizing the landscape in three directions. For now, the earth and sky have made their peace. The typically boisterous northeastern Pacific has settled temporarily into an idyllic calm. There are no rolling swells or choppy waves to distract the eye from the bird life that teems upon the ocean surface. In the west, the cobalt blue plain abuts a clear, chilly, pale morning sky. This confluence etches a horizon that trails off eternally, modeling infinity by its understated immensity. This platform at the base of the Yaquinahead Lighthouse allows one of the best views of a nesting seabird colony on the North American continent. More than 25,000 common murres, brants and pelagic cormorants, western gulls, pigeon guillemots, and tufted puffins visit and nest on the sheer rocky islands below each spring. The chaotic gargles, yelps, twitters, and shrieks of thousands of seabirds rise and fall as a united chorus. These unruly calls are rejoined by the roar of insistent surf crashing against resilient basalt. These durable 14-million-year-old rocks are the tail end of a lava flow that originated 300 miles to the northeast in what is now eastern Washington. The headland is slowly giving way to insistent pounding. Sections have shorn away from the mainland like icebergs calving off of a coastal glacier. These pieces of land will eventually be completely eroded away by the force of moving wind and water. Meanwhile, cut off from the mainland and its predators, these sea stacks are appropriated seasonally by seabirds as breeding rookeries. Common murres are by far the most numerous birds on the rookery. These black and white penguin lookalikes crowd together on the flatter tops of the sea stacks, claiming an individual territory that measures only as far as each bird can reach while incubating a single egg on bare rock. This packing is advantageous, as there are only limited amount of cliff sites that are inaccessible to predators and suitable for nesting murres. Some newly laid eggs are visible from my platform. They are colorfully marked so that they can be easily identified, and pear-shaped so that when bumped, each egg will simply pivot around its smaller end and not roll off the cliff. The murre rookery is a scene of constant activity. Dozens of birds are coming and going at any moment. Their bodies are a compromise of design. Short wings and tails are built more for traveling through water than through air. When flying, their feet trail behind, acting as a crude rudder to control a necessarily direct and unstable flight propelled by rapid, energetic wing beats. Many of the returning birds are males, carrying a single anchovy. They dangle the fish in front of a crowd of prospective mates, hoping to impress a receptive female with their prize. Brants, cormorants defend territories surrounding mounded nests of seaweed and eelgrass throughout the crowded murre colony. These amorous, drab, black sea crows are sporting rich turquoise throat patches that match their piercing blue eyes. The intensity of these colors is surprising, brighter than any wildlife artist or photographer can ever depict. Throughout the colony, males are displaying by squatting and throwing back their heads to expose their throat patches, vibrating their wings, and voicing a low, guttural call. Below, on the sheerest cliffs, ruby-faced pelagic cormorants compete for nesting space with precariously tiny perches. Pigeon guillemots float and dive in groups in the surf at the base of the cliffs. They signal each other by opening their bills, exposing the fiery red-orange inner lining in their mouths, which perfectly matches their impossibly brightly colored legs and feet. The Eugene Natural History Society is presenting Bruce Mate, director of the Marine Mammal Institute at Newport, Oregon, in a talk entitled The Biggest and the Deepest, Tracking Whales. Bruce will be speaking about whales on the Friday, May 15th meeting of the Natural History Society at 7:30 p.m. in Room 100 of Willamette Hall at the U of O. The public is invited, and the lecture is free of charge. For more information, call 344-3327. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.